You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Thursday, April 12th. The Jazz get blown out by Portland. We'll discuss what happened there. More importantly, we'll look to the Oklahoma City Thunder in the playoff series and take your questions. The note that's the key to the series, at least it was at 5:30 in the morning when I looked at it. I don't know if it's that important now. All coming up on today's show. Pow. I feel like I'm doing a sociological experiment this week with these shows. So Tuesday was the day where I openly admitted I had been tasting various espressos that I had in the house. Yesterday the show was done without coffee. Today the show is being done without sleep. I slept 2 hours on the plane, kind of just passed out before we took off, and then got home, wasn't really sleepy, sat down to start to work, and got completely energized by playoff prep, and at 5:30 decided to go to sleep for an hour. So we'll see. I'm hoping tomorrow's show is going to be a crossover edition with Eric G. of Locked On Thunder. We'll just do a whole episode talking about the matchups and doing that. So this is really my preview geeky setup for you today. That's at least the plan. Today's show is brought to you by The Advocates and MizumaUSA.com. I appreciate the people who reached out knowing we have some inventory open for the next few weeks that wanted to get on the show. So thank you very much. Those deals are not all finalized, so we still have a little bit of inventory if you want to be an advertiser during this playoff run on Locked On Jazz and beyond heading into the draft and free agency. Email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. All right, let's get into last night's quickly, because I do want to get your questions. Last night, really what happened is that the Jazz played a team that plays a style that is kind of the style it's given the Jazz problems this year. And it absolutely derailed the offense last night. What the Blazers do, they drop the big. This is what Atlanta did to us. This is what the Blazers did to us earlier this year. This has been kind of the bugaboo at times, not all the time, but at times that we have. When you kind of look at our bad offensive nights, last night included in our 82 games, that's the one that shows up. And last night was one of them. And the defense wasn't terrible. So what happened last night is that the offense was awful, and when the offense is awful is when we lose. The defense is still so good night in and night out that for us to lose, the offense has to be kind of awful. And it was last night. They dropped the big. We got into this weird floater game. It's just such a I know we practice it, and our coaches work hard on it. We've developed it and all that. It's still a terribly low percentage shot. It's a shot that needs to be used at times, but is something that, frankly, it isn't going to carry you through a game. What you've got to do is against a defense like that is drive, kick out, drive again, have multiple drives to the basket. And we lead the league in drives, so we should be able to do that. Problem is, last night we were driving. We were trying to engage the big. He kept relenting. They closed out the corner windows, and we couldn't get the passes back out. Donovan took a lot of really bad shots, as did others. It was of our 82 games, that was our 71st offensive performance last night, and we lost, we only lose by 9. It wasn't even one of our better defense performances, but it wasn't bad. They had a 103 defensively. When we've lost recently, we have had, our 71st offensive performance, our 60th, our 73rd, our 76th, our 79th. You're not going to go 82-0, and so you're going to lose every now and then. What we've built is a defense that's so good that you end up winning a lot of games, and to lose, you just have to have a terrible offensive night. And that's what's happened. Our losses are a 92.5 offensively, a 98.7. Against San Antonio, we played well, 108.3. Atlanta was a 90.4. The Rockets, it was an 88.8. And the Blazers with 85.4. What's more remarkable is that we've had some games below 100 that we've won. That's really what's more remarkable. Can the first guy who dropped a question on this show, someone tell him, it's gone off my screen right now. I'm on an hour's sleep. Don't throw that bull crap at me about Quinn Snyder being outcoached. Are you serious? Like, he's the coach of the year. You're just a Nimrod if you're going to criticize our head coach. That's beyond reason to me at this point. So that's really kind of what happened last night. The other one that happened last night is that they do not allow us to take corner threes. So we've been taking over the previous 11 games. This was my TV shot last night. I don't know if you saw it. That we were taking 11 corner threes a game, and we only got five and only made one last night. We were 5 of 30 in shots in the paint non-restricted area or mid-range. 5 of 30. We were 2 of 13 on mid-range shots last night. So we got caught in that floater game. It's a low percentage shot. We tried to live by it. We died by it. And it's ironic. Everyone always talks about, oh, I don't want to live and die by the jump shot. Okay, we lived and died in the mid-range. Like, we died in the mid-range last night. We didn't die anywhere else. So that's what really happened to us last night. And Donovan wasn't very good. You know, if we're really honest about it. And Dante wasn't very good. Our guards had a tough night. And Dame's awesome. We got in a very heated debate on the broadcast last night of whether you would who's harder to guard, Dame or Russ. Really, I think what the debate became is I said it was a no-brainer. And Thurl and Ron objected to that. Kevin Pelton, who was with us from ESPN, pointed out that I was looking at it from a coaching standpoint. Whereas they were looking at it from a player standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, how you stop Russ, there's at least a game plan. I don't even have a game plan on what you're trying to do with Dame. He's Steph Curry light. And so I don't really know what you're trying to do there. So that's really the story on last night. I gotta address this before we move on to Oklahoma City. Coach Snyder was out-coached last night. Axum and O'Neal should have played more. Their length was slowing down Lillard. He should have told Rudy not to double on the pick and roll, leaving Nurkic wide open at the rim. All right, well, we weren't. I mean, you obviously know everything. We weren't doubling Lillard on the pick and roll at all last night. We play actually the same style of big that with a little more, they're a little more exaggerated than we do. Or at least hedged with another player like the one guarding Davis. All right, well, you know all the terminology, so I'll give you that. I think your analysis is awful. Oh, that's not fair. You can't say that to me. Oh, I can. Because you evidently just decide you want to call out the coach of the year. So, oh, it's not nice. I'm not allowed to say mean things to you. Well, you just did to the head coach. So I'm going to actually tell you back that I actually think your system isn't going to work. Okay? Like, Dante was not good last night at all. O'Neal guarded him for a period of time and didn't seem to slow him any more than anyone else. Dante guarded him for a period of time and didn't seem to slow Lillard more than anyone else. Dante was on the floor for 20 minutes last night. We were minus 10 in those 20 minutes when the 28 he was off, we were plus 1, so probably not necessarily the answer there. And your analysis on the pick and roll is, one, there's a little bit you play who you are, and one is we are not one who generally hedge the pick and roll. And actually, your idea that we should have at least hedged the pick and roll with another player like the one guarding Davis, it's an interesting idea. So if they put Gobert in the pick and roll, you want a third guy to just run over and leave Davis open at the rim. Now, that wouldn't be outcoached. That's a brilliant – what? I mean, you got all the terminology, but that actually doesn't make any sense. Seriously, you're going to go after the head coach who just turned around the greatest single turnaround in a single season for one night? Say he got outcoached? Really? You got to be kidding me. I mean, the Utah fan base has become pretty well known on the Twitter sphere for the Donovan Mitchell-Ben Simmons battle that's going on. You can't, like, listen to a podcast without a host complaining about the – I love it. It's the passion. That – Quinn Snyder got out-coached last night is not passion. Okay. How about I tell you about Mizuma USA and then we get to Oklahoma City? I haven't had enough sleep for comments like that. That's incredible to me. Like, I just gave you the breakdown, by the way. Breakdown is pretty simple. We got into a bunch of... First of all, the problem was not defense. The problem was offense. We hit 3 of 30 on mid-range shots. We took 30 mid-range shots. Our problem was, offensively, we got suckered into their little stupid floater game, and we never passed the ball out and had multiple drives. And they take away our corner three, which hurts us. When we don't get the corner three, we struggle. You know? And that's when you get into, if you can get the corner three going, then you get into the fact it's a make or miss league. Today's show brought to you in part by Mizuma USA. April 15th is looming. Boy, I just got an email from my tax guy yesterday. It is not only looming, it's hitting me over the head with a 2x4. So if you have 1 to 5 employees and you're not using Mizuma USA, you're losing money and clarity. For $75 a month, you get all your bookkeeping, monthly reports, unlimited consultation with a CPA, personal and business tax return done for you. Here's how it works. And then if you use the promo code LOCKED, it's less than $75 a month. You sign up with Mizuma USA by going to MizumaUSA.com or going to 801-980-2102. They get an orientation call. You get assigned a bookkeeper and a CPA. It doesn't change. That's your bookkeeper and your CPA. They hook into all, get connected to you. First set of reports comes out. Then you have a tax plan discussion. Then every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. At the end of the year, you get all your reports. No contract. Cancel at any times. No hidden fees. MizumaUSA.com. Promo code LOCKED. And you get 25% off. That's 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. All right. I prepped a bunch last night. Let me see if I can give you what I think is interesting. First off, Thunder kind of have been this roller coaster all year. They started 8-12, they won 12 of 15, so they were 22-20. Then they won 8 straight, then they lost 7 of 11, and they closed the year with 3 really good road wins. It's not really clear still who they are. When they had Andre Robertson, their starting lineup was plus 14. When they didn't have Andre Robertson, they ran into all sorts of problems. With Ferguson, the rookie, the starting lineup was a minus 4, and a defensive rating of 114, which would be, I think, last in the NBA. When they had Alex Abrines starting, they were a minus 2, their defensive rating, a 114, which I think would be last in the league. They started Josh Huestis for a while. That actually kind of worked. Their defense got better, but Huestis isn't really the answer. And then they got Corey Brewer, and that settled it a little, but their defensive rating is still a 109. And now Corey Brewer sprained his knee last night. So it's not clear. They're going to get pictures taken of it when Corey Brewer comes back. But they could be without Corey Brewer for the opening games of this playoff series. And it is, if they're missing, is he injured his knee in the final? It's not clear. Clutched his right knee. He was taking a 3. Mario Chalmers closed on him. Billy Donovan said after the game was a sprained knee with more evaluation to come tomorrow on the severity. He said, we'll get some pictures taken and see if there's anything more than that. That's big, frankly. That changes things. Interesting thing on their lineups, they've got a bench unit that's been stunningly good. Felton, Abrines, Huestis, Grant, and Patterson with their big guys off the floor. Surprisingly, it's been good. How have the big three worked together? When they have all three of them on the floor, they're +5 per 100 possessions. Pretty good. And they have really played with Steven Adams almost all the time. 1,680 of their 197 5 minutes. Let me try that again. 1,680 of their 1,975 minutes have been with Adams. So in those minutes, they're +268 for the season. Otherwise, they're +12 when they're off. Paul George, without Russell Westbrook and without Carmelo, when he's on the floor by himself, hasn't worked at all. Early in the year, I was criticizing Billy Donovan. I couldn't figure out why they didn't do that. This is why. It was -13. And Paul George, as the one guy on the floor, shot 39% from the floor and 33% from three. When Russ is off the floor without the guys, they're fine. +8. When Carmelo's on the floor without the other two guys, they're fine. +11. And Carmelo shoots 51% and 35% from three. Interestingly, when Russ and PG are on the floor without Carmelo, they're +14. So there's your rotation. Carmelo probably gets that group. Russ is still the key. They're +5, +6 with Russ on the floor, -5 without Russ. What jumped out at me is how much their pick and roll game has improved post All-Star break when I was running the numbers. Russ has gotten way better with Steven Adams. That's actually become one of the best. Grant and Russ have a little pick and roll chemistry going. But Adams and Westbrook have re-engaged the pick and roll. That's what, when they've been good, is when they've re-engaged Adams. So that's going to be a big task on Rudy. That's a tough task. How are you playing that? Are you dropping, trying to keep Russ off the rim and at Adams, and Russ is coming downhill? That's a heck of a deal you got to deal with. And their point per play on that with Russ is over one. What you want to do is get these guys caught into isolation. Westbrook used the fourth most isolation in the league, and he's in the 16th percentile in efficiency. Anthony's 28th in the league most. He's in the 52nd percentile. He's average. Paul George is 10th most isolations in the league, and he's in the 24th percentile in isolation. Russ leads the league in drives. I'll have more Russ. I haven't done all my Russ deep dive yet. Here's who the Thunder are. They're 21st in the league in drives, 26th in efficiency, 30th in the league in passes, 24th in off-ball screens, so there's just not a lot of action here. 14th in picks, 14th in efficiency. 22nd in post-ups, pretty good at it, though. 4th in isolation, but 24th in efficiency. 29th in handoffs. They don't do that. They're coming at you with a basic Russ pick and roll, coming at you fast in isolation. And so you've got to find a way really to try to get them, blow up that pick and roll, and see if you can get them into some basic isolation, one-on-one stuff. Their instinct is to not move the basketball. You're making me think of one idea here. See if I can find shot clock stats. Team tracking stats. Let's see if that's... I'm curious to know what they are as the shot clock moves on them. But I, you know, I have still never to this day truly figured out how to use NBA Stats Cube well. It is not... Here we go. Shot clock. Got it. So, searching by effective field goal percentage. 18 to, I don't actually love the way they do it either, but 18 to 22 on the shot clock. The Thunder are about 10th in the league. 15 to 18 on the shot clock, still early. They begin to fade. They're now about 20th in the league at 56% effective field goal percentage. Middle of the shot clock, they are about 17th in the league. We get into the late part of the shot clock, 4 to 7. They are last in the league. Bing, 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 bing. 0 to 4 on the shot clock. They're 24th in the league. There's the series, guys. Right there. Their instincts not to move the ball. You can get them going like that. I'll change it. So that's the defense. Here's the offensive part of the series. They are 28th in the league in denying the three. They are last in the NBA at denying the corner three. In the win, the Jazz went 5 of 11 on corner threes. In the three losses, the Jazz went 8 of 32 on corner threes. Jazz are a pretty good corner three shooting team with a bunch of guys that are good corner three shooters. And so, to me, that's the whole matchup. They'll overplay, blow up our systems, destroy our dribble handoffs. We got to fight through it. Not turn the ball over. Not let them go run. Keep them in the half court. They're the eighth best team defending the restricted area. They're the seventh best team defending the mid-range. They are 23rd in the league at stopping shots at the mid-range. So they're gambling, doing a bunch of things, and then they defend it well because they're great athletes. And they force the fewest mid-range shots of the game because they're overplaying in those areas. And so you move it, move it, move it, move it, get those looks. That's the offense. We can do that. It's interesting, I would tell you this. We have not played them well in a long time. Russ has had these incredible games against us, overwhelmed us, and beat us up. And yet, you look at the numbers prepping last night, I feel pretty good about the series. Corner three shooters, Jay Crowder, 40%. Derek Favors, 23%. Joe Ingles, 49%. Jonas Jerebko, the best on the team, 53%. Donovan Mitchell, 48%. Howell Neto, 47%. Royce O'Neal, 40%. Ricky Rubio, 37%. Much better left than right. And Tabo Sefolosha, will miss him. He was 46%. So that, to me, is the key to the series. That's how this one breaks down. All right, I'll get your questions next. And as I said, tomorrow coming up on the show, we'll have the kind of an in-depth look, talk to the Thunder guy, talk to Eric. He's really good. See what's going on with it. Today's show is brought to you by the Advocates. Hopefully, honestly, the day does not come where you need the Advocates, but you get in the car accident, and then a lot of things are going on. So, someone may have been wrong. You've got insurance companies you got to try to battle. Your employer might not be helping you out because you're going to miss time because you're injured. This is then. Now we need the Advocates. 801-355-5550. They are there to help you out. They've got an incredible system that Matt's built, 106 steps. And over those 25 years that Matt has been doing this, helping people, he has built this efficient 106-step system that has specialists at each moment along the way taking care of it. So you call the Advocates at 801-355-5550, and a lawyer calls you back in 60 seconds. That lawyer works with you, understands who you are, puts a bunch of notes in the system, honestly, about what your needs are, how you need to be communicated with, kicks it into the system, boom. Step one, step two, step three to 106. Because all accidents are different, but the process is the same. And the process that they've built is efficient. That efficiency gives productivity, means better communication to you, expedites process, means you get good results, nothing bad happens to you, and they treat you well. It's the Advocates. UtahAdvocates.com or 801-355-5550. All right, let's get to your questions. Hi, David from Geelong, Australia. Playoffs here. Dante's back. Ingles is God. Everything is good in Aussie. Love it, Tom. After seeing the post-shoulder injury explosion from Dante, what do you think Dante's ceiling is and what do you think his future on the roster is? I'll be honest. I have no idea still. I mean, he was not very good last night. And that's still where you are with him. It's like one night in. And it depends how you evaluate him. If you evaluate him as a fourth-year pro, he's terrible last night. If you evaluate him as a young player who's still learning the game, has been through a bunch of injuries, then you just say last night was one of those nights. So I really don't know on Dante. The jump shot was an air ball for three. He has one pull-up jump shot this year. He had one pull-up jump shot all of last year. There's still just huge, huge pieces of his game that are not developed at all. And yet he reminds you most nights on that he's the fifth pick of the draft with this incredible explosion, and he's just amazing. And if you can corral that and figure out how to use it, it brings you an element we don't have. We're taking 40% of our shots at the rim with him on the floor because he can do something that nobody else can do. But if we're really, it depends how you're evaluating it. Like, for I do not think he's going to be very helpful in the playoff series. Honestly, I think they'll get used to his speed. They'll get back. He's got to play in the half court. I think it'll be hard on him. Only because I think he's so inexperienced and has played so little this year. Now, if he'd had 50 games under his belt this year or 70 games under his belt this year, I think he would help us in the playoffs with his skill set. But I think he's still, you still got to be honest about who he is and where he is in this process. And it's still very difficult. Hi, David. This is my first time watching Facebook Live. I'm in Australia. Most times your show is at 4 a.m. my time. This is currently 11:30, so thank you for having an earlier show. No problem. David says, I'm nervous for Utah to play Russ in the playoffs, but feel confident playing Melo in the playoffs. Maybe PG-13 will be the difference maker for the Thunder. What are your honest thoughts about playing? I mean, there's some aspects of playing. You know, playing Russ is unnerving because he can just go win a game. I kind of excited to watch him. Honestly, I love watching him. He's just that awesome. You know, their names are big, and Russ is great, but I think you can build a game plan for Russ. Russ did not get out of the first round last year. Paul George didn't get out of the first round. Carmelo hasn't been in the playoffs since 2012, 2013. Paul George, last playoff game, he was 5 of 21. In game 4, he shot 39% in that playoff series. Russ's last playoff series, he shot 39% from the floor and 27% from three against a bad defensive Houston team. Right? Now he's played 3 Western Conference Finals and 1 NBA Finals, so he knows what to do. You know, he's been there, but he also had guys with him for those. I mean, part of this is Russell Westbrook shoots 33% in the paint non-restricted. He shoots 29.5% against the above-the-break three, and he shoots 40% against the mid-range. Over a 7-game series, I'm taking my odds on that. Anytime I can get him late in the shot clock and keep him off the rim, I'm good. Paul George shoots 37% paint non-restricted, 33% mid-range, 44% against corner three. We deny the corner three pretty well. 39% above the break three. Okay, that's brutal. And we like to drop our big. He's going to come off that pick, Bill. Take that off the bounce. That's going to be the shot of the series. Carmelo actually is a 40% mid-range shooter too. So, and keep an eye on Felton, 48% corner three shooter. Yeah, I did a lot of prep last night. I'm fired up. Who needs sleep this time of year? It's awesome. Totally awesome. So, I think that Paul George off the bounce three, and I haven't done the, you know, now I say that, I'm like, oh, what's he, you know, now I need to know. Like, by the way, what I'll do now, I'll get all my basic prep done, then I'll go watch 3 other games, and every time I see something that I think I want a number on, I'll go find it. And then you're pretty prepped. It's kind of fun. But Paul George, who had 40 last night, busting out, he's been terrible recently, so he busted out last night. Let's go look at it. Let's go find out what he is. Off the bounce three, 38% off the bounce three, 2 of them a game. Pretty good. If Russ is going to let him, you know, coming off pick and roll, rise up and get it. His pick and roll game, though, it's not a lot. He's the third. He runs the third most amount of pick and rolls. He runs them usually with Adams. He's not great. Russ is 0.95 points per pick and roll. Felton's 0.96 and Paul George is 0.87. Is it the same officials the whole series? No. They rotate. How do you feel about starting on the road? I feel like we've been so good on the road that may feel good to the team rather than pressure starting home. Legitimate thought, you're always better off starting at home. Would have been nice to win last night. I tracked the last 10 minutes of the game last night. We had 23 possessions, only 11 times the ball rotated from one side to the other. 2 of those 11, it rotated twice. No, and we didn't move them at all last night. They knocked us out of our game. We got discombobulated. Donovan was not good last night making decisions. He's still a rookie. Let's be honest. He's great. He's going to be a superstar. Those are not nights he's going to have eventually. Seems like the Jazz have had a hard time against OKC. Besides shutting down Westbrook, what else do we need to do to the series, do you think? You just got to keep them. Anytime you get them later in the shot clock, which is not easy, and anytime you keep Westbrook off the rim, you're in good shape. And then Paul George is going to be a real factor if he has a good series. And then we've got to make shots. We're going to get, what I just showed you, though, we're going to get looks. They're last in the league at denying the corner three. They're 28th in the league at denying the three. If we take care of the ball, we're going to get looks. We just got to knock them down. Wanted that three spot, less for home court, more for not playing Houston. Let's just get to Houston. You never know. Luke Bamute's injury, Chris Paul turns an ankle. By the time you get to Houston, you never know. Super excited for the playoffs from Jesse. He's out in Michigan. I was wondering how you think the rotation will change in the playoffs if it's shortened, who gets let off. Also, how does this year's team stack up? Against last year's offensively and defensively. Our defense rating was second. Last year was third. Our number was better. Offensively, I think we came out about the same. I don't know that we'll shorten our rotation much at all in the sense that it already's gotten awfully short. I think Royce O'Neal will play more. I mean, with Paul George and Russell Westbrook out there, his defensive prowess is going to be awfully important to this team. But, you know, we don't have high variable guys, you know, right now. I mean, Jay Crowder takes a lot of contested above the break threes. That's just kind of who he is. But, you know, we don't have that Rodney Hood on or off, Joe Johnson on or off thing anymore. I like the matchup with OKC. Our great defense and depth off the bench should be more than capable of beating them. We'll find out. You're not getting any easy matchups in the playoffs, right? I mean, I guess you would have liked to play New Orleans, but they're, you know, Anthony Davis could cause us problems too if he gets going. He's pretty good. So, you know, you're not going to go to the playoffs and get, I kind of feel like we did this last year. Like, there are not good matchups. Gobert is the most impactful big man in the NBA. There's no question. I'll dig into some of the numbers about Oklahoma City versus against us this year, but there's almost nothing in those games that has any relevance. All right, final question. The West playoff race was incredible. Here's my theory on what's happening. So you will always have super teams until you go down to so few teams that superstars are on every team. So if we went to 12 teams, you wouldn't have super teams. What's also happening, though, so we're going to have the Warriors and the Rockets and the seemingly super teams. Then what is happening is there's more talent in the league than there's ever been before because we have the international expansion. We're the in-league. Kids are playing our game. It's the Michael generation. We have not expanded in a long time. So now, with more talent than you've ever had before, you have more good teams. You have the normal amount of great teams. That's just going to be there. You have more good teams. I don't know that I think there were more bad teams this year. They were pretty concerted in their effort to become bad. That's certainly fair. But teams like Denver make playoffs when you have that many good players. Jamal Murray, top 10 pick. Gary Harris, 15th pick, was great. Nikola Jokic is great. Paul Millsap has been an all-star. You know, Wilson, like, that's a solid team. Will Barton, solid team. They don't make the playoffs. But the issue is that the amount Detroit, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson don't make the playoffs. There's just so much talent in the league right now because the international expansion, African-Americans aren't playing baseball. The game's hot. Every kid is talking the game right now. And so that's where the athletes, the best players are all going. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks to Mizuma USA as well as The Advocates. Hopefully to have a fun show for you tomorrow with Eric G. of Locked On Thunder. Have a great one. We'll talk to you, at you, with you, tweeting at you, doing all that stuff. It is Locked On Jazz. Get all the latest news. I'll put all sorts of stuff up on LockedOnJazz.net. Keep checking it out. LockedOnJazz.net will have videos, highlights of the Thunder's main plays. We'll break down everything coming for you here this week. Be a lot of fun for the playoffs. See ya.